The Money Show.
The Markets.
Yeah, markets did extraordinary things today. We saw flick-flacks and pirouettes and extraordinary floor movements. If this was a gymnastics final, we would have got a gold medal at the Olympics. We really would have. 1,700 points higher, more than 2.3% stronger. The JSE, very nearly 75,000. Our record level for the JSE is around 77,500. So we're not far from record levels for the JSE. It's almost unbelievable, Chris Stewart, a portfolio manager at 91, that the market is as buoyant as it is in the face of just so much bad news around.
Yeah, good evening, Bruce. Listen, we've been obsessed with pivots and central bank pivots. We're not talking pirouettes by the sound of things, so that's a new market phenomenon.
That's me. I made it. I've invented it. It's a stylish move on the day. I think so.
I like it. I may even borrow it, Bruce. But yeah, we've seen, we saw lots of excitement in the market today. The tone had been set by a reasonably decent start in the East, particularly in China, where the macro data that came out overnight was fairly disappointing. But the market seems to be obsessed with this post-COVID Chinese reopening story, although there seems to be scant evidence of that on the ground. There seems to be an obsession with that, and that certainly got markets going. We saw the likes of Naspers and Prosus today, both up 5 or 6%. That assists our market. And away from that, we saw the commodity stocks in particular leading the market up. And that's on the back of reasonably robust commodity prices. The PGM complex in particular was strong, some of the base metals strong. But even if you look further down the list, we've got a smattering of banks, we've got a smattering of retailers, we've got some general industrial stocks going better today as well. So pretty widespread enthusiasm for the market. It may, just one element to qualify, there was a MSCI rebalance that took place into the close today. So we saw some pretty decent volumes going through, and it may be that there was some technical buying adding to the pirouettes and spins, Bruce.
I couldn't, yeah, because I mean, I looked at the rest of the world, and yeah, I mean, London was up 1%, Europe was marginally positive, the US was nowhere at the start, and I just thought, hold on a second, this is terribly unusual, and it is that rebalancing, perhaps, rather than an expectation that Pala Pala report is not going to destabilize Cyril and the usual stuff that journalists tend to pick up on. Markets tend to have other priorities, and that is whether or not any money is being made. How is Santam doing? Santam, of course, was having to take bear the biggest brunt, I suppose, during COVID in terms of payouts and business payouts, that sort of stuff. Is it rebounded? Has it found its refound its niche?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best way to describe Santam's trading update today is it's going okay. gross written premium growth has accelerated a bit from the first half of the year, coming in at about 8%. There'll be elements of repricing coming through there in order to try to claw back underwriting margins. So reasonable growth in premiums, but then they highlight that you know, there has been claims inflation. That'll be partly driven by some of the currency weakness. The rand weakness against the dollar is usually quite a big driver of claims inflation. Given that we import an awful lot of things that people claim for, from motor vehicle parts to, you know, to other appliances, load shedding related claims as a result of power surges are heightened. The ever-present crime, KZN floods in the earlier part of this year, and then obviously the non-recurrence of some of the business interruption claims of last year. All of that conspiring to keep their underwriting margin below the 5 to 10% target range. Which will disappoint some slightly, I guess, albeit an improvement on the underwriting margin that they saw in the first half. So they are taking corrective actions to try to claw back their underwriting margin back into the target range. They're not there yet, but they say that there has been a distinct improvement in the second half of the year. Away from that, some of the factors that are less within their control, the investment return on their insurance funds, significantly improved. That's really another way of saying that interest rates are higher now than they were earlier on in the year. So the liquid assets that they have at their disposal earning a higher return, and the return on their shareholders' funds benefiting from a weak rand against the dollar but equally well, probably not benefiting from some of the euphoria we're seeing in markets right now, given that they did put quite a significant hedge in against some of their equity exposure in the middle of the year, which would have looked clever for a while, less clever for a while thereafter. But if we bear in mind the fact that they're really just trying to secure the value of their equity rather than take a punt on markets, then they'll probably be reasonably happy with that.
South African retailers not notorious for their brilliance at acquiring global businesses. The Foschini Group, however, I think its track record is far more praiseworthy than many of its competitors, and it's going shopping again internationally.
They may be. There were a couple of quoted articles today from the chief executive intimating that in addition to the UK portfolio they've got at the moment, I think they've got Hobbs, and I want to call it Phase 8, and I might be getting confused with Studio 88, which Mr. Price has just acquired, but I think it's called Phase 8, their other brand in the UK.
I think you're right,
looking to add to that potentially, alluding to the fact that the UK retail market is still quite fragmented. There's quite a few smaller brands out there, and given the parlous state of the UK consumer, given the double-digit inflation that they're experiencing there, increased energy costs, higher interest rates, sounds a little bit like home, but worse, you know, they would expect to see some of those retailers post the Christmas trading period, where retailers really rely on to generate the liquidity they require to service their debt in the new year. If we see a disappointing trading period, they might see some of those brands on the block. And the Foschini Group putting their hand up to say, listen, if there are some good assets to acquire at attractive prices, we may well be sniffing around.
Chris Stewart at 91. Thank you.